work globally as a speaker, retreat facilitator, medium, and mentor. My mission is to awaken and realign you back to your magnificence, your power, and infinite potential. As the founder of the Rise with Love philosophy, I'm honored to share wisdom that will create the expansion of joy, abundance, love, and freedom to flow into your life. If you're ready, I want to hear you say yes, because the most wonderful things will unfold for you when you embark on the journey to Rise with Love. Let's get started. Hello and welcome to a new episode. As you rise with love, your intuition is going to be the force that's going to help you experience higher levels of ascension. I'm so excited to introduce you to my guest today, who is the CEO of Soul Getters, Gabriella Capobianco. She is a spiritual teacher, intuitive, as well as a soul and light code activator. Doesn't that just sound phenomenal? Her mission is to help as many light workers as possible to tap into and embody their intuitive gifts so they can become the highest aspect of themselves here on earth. Oh my gosh, I am so looking forward to co-creating together. A huge welcome, Gabriella.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here today.
Oh, I am so beyond excited to do this together. Just even feeling into each other's energies, you are such a vibrant, I don't even quite know how to explain it. There's something about you that's so captivating, mesmerizing, welcoming. Oh my gosh, I just love your energy and everything that you kind of stand for. And I can't wait to delve into this. So I'm so excited that you've given us this time. Thank you so much.
So excited to be here. I can't wait to see where this conversation goes.
So I'd love for you to share, how did your spiritual journey start? Because you all started at a very young age. So can you explain for us how it all began?
So yeah, I feel like I had sometimes a different journey than the most spiritual people, I guess you could say. When I was born, I came in completely turned on and like completely open. And it was from the time I was probably just old enough to sleep in my own bedroom, for instance. I was probably maybe 6 months old. My parents would say I'd wake up at the same time every night screaming and pointing to the corner of my bedroom. So it wasn't like I was needing my diaper changed or I was hungry. It was like blood-curdling screams. Like my mom said, it would always just like give her chills. And that kind of, I feel like, set the tone for my childhood. Like a lot of times, I feel like now as adults, I mean, not always, but I feel like a lot of times it's cooler and like you want to be able to see these things and you want to be able to communicate with your loved ones and spirits and all that. But for me at the time, I was not having it. I was like, why can't I just be normal? And because back then it wasn't really that pop, I guess, like it wasn't as well known back then. Like there was Sylvia Brown, there was John Edwards, there were some of those more well-known psychics and mediums, but it still wasn't as accepted. So I felt like I was the only person who had these, like now I call them gifts, but at the time I just thought it was like a curse. And because it was like to the point where I remember being little and like covering myself as I was trying to change because I felt like people were watching me. I was like, there's people watching me. Like I don't want to change with people around me, but I didn't understand it. Every time I'd close my eyes to go to bed, it was like all these people around me and it terrified me. And it was to the point where I couldn't sleep by myself. Like when I was really young, like elementary school age, I remember making my mom sit in the bathroom as I showered because I didn't want to be alone, because anytime I was by myself, it was like it opened the floodgates to some sort of energy. And I mean, from what I remember, I always was seeing like people, or like the one time I remember a big angel coming down at me at the hallway. So it wasn't ever usually anything scary, but I think it was just enough for me to know, like, you're not supposed to be here. Like, I am in a human reality and you're not. Like, what are you? And I just didn't understand it. The more I tried to resist it, the more it came in. And I know I don't really remember because I was so young, but I now remember being told I would be communicating with certain loved ones at family parties who I'd never met, who, like, for instance, like my grandfather's dad, and just these individuals that I just wouldn't have known who they were. But what was interesting was it was like I had this one aspect of my life where all this stuff was going on, but to the, like, everyday person, school, all that. Like, nobody knew. I really like used soccer as my escape, and I played at a very high premier level soccer. And that really was kind of my distraction. Even though things would still happen, I was able to focus so much of my time with that sport because I was literally playing like 7 days a week. But it just continued and different things kept happening. So I think by the time I was in seventh grade, I was probably like 11 or 12. My mom finally got me in contact with a spiritual mentor, which really helped me because it was finally like, okay, somebody's understanding what I'm going through. Because my mom and my dad and my family, they were super supportive of me, which I was lucky because I feel like most people don't have that experience, but they couldn't really understand it, right? Like, they couldn't explain to me what I was seeing, or, you know, you can put up boundaries or protection to ensure that they can't just come in at all hours of the day. And like, I just didn't have those tools. So my first mentor really, really helped me at least understand it. It still terrified me. I remember being in like middle school, high school, and I think the Long Island Medium started coming out, and there was more TV shows on mediumship and like, I don't know, like psychic children and stuff like that. So I started seeing it more and I started reading more. And then I'd get excited. I'd be like, okay, I've got this. Like, I'm ready for more. And then something would happen and it would totally freak me out. And I was like, no, never mind. Like, I don't want it. But that was kind of like the theme of my life for like a good 5 years was I want it and then I don't. I want it and then I don't. But anyways, in high school, I was en route to play at Division I level. So in the US, that's like the highest level you could play in college. But I ended up having 4 knee surgeries within 4 years. So it ended with my doctor telling me, like, no more. I was en route, I guess, to need a knee replacement by the time I was 30. And he was like, we don't do that until you're at least 50. Like, at least not back then. Maybe now there's new technology, but back then, no. He's like, you're done. And so what was interesting was there was a part of me that was like, deep down, like, thank goodness. Because deep down, I knew a change was needed and it wasn't right given I had 4 knee surgeries in such a short time. Now it's like I would probably pay attention to the signs of roadblock, roadblock, roadblock. But back then my ego was still so like, this is my identity. This is who I am. I've worked so hard. What are people going to think of me? Like all that. Like, I don't want to disappoint people, blah, 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 blah. So most of me was just like so angry. And I guess you could probably call that like my dark night of the soul, where I was just like, never that I didn't believe in that God, creator, divine energy, but I was just so angry with them. I was like, I worked so hard. How could this happen? Now I'm going into college. I don't know who I am. Like, so I went into like this very just not me place, because I'm very much an optimist. And I feel like I just got very like, my life is miserable. I hate everything type of thing for a good few months. And actually through that though, I started reading, I think it was called You Are a Medium. And in this book, it had the step-by-step on how to start meditating. And I had between like that time picked up rowing in college because I couldn't let go of my athlete role because I was like, I don't know what I am without being an athlete. So I tried out for the rowing team and our coach had us do morning meditation before we would start rowing, but it didn't work for me because it was 4 a.m. We were in the middle of New Hampshire, which is like very wooded. And all I could think about was like a bear coming out of the woods or something like that. So I wasn't really paying attention and I was trying not to fall asleep. So, but he was always saying that it is like very good for you and it helps release stress and like all this stuff. So I was kind of like at this point where I was like, well, nothing else is working. And my coach told me that meditation can help you feel better. And now I'm reading in this book that it can help you feel better and it might help my intuition. So I started with that. And it was really from there, like long story short, it was really like the floodgates opened back up. But I think the biggest difference this time was I was the one finally being like, okay, I'm creating this sacred space. Like, it was in between one of my classes in college to meditate every day. This is when, if you have something you want to say to me, this is when you can come in. And like, it just really helped me dive into this even deeper spiritual journey where I ended up becoming like a Reiki master and taking like all these different courses and just all this different stuff, which has really brought me to where I am today. And I mean, it's not to say it's been easy since then. There's been a lot of different things that have come up and different lessons and all of that, but really finally being able to accept that these like spiritual gifts are actually the biggest blessing and can help in the world in so many ways. It really changed the game for me and helped me to see that we're all intuitive and we all have these gifts. And I feel like, I know we were talking about this before, like there was a time where it was like, even just like younger people, there wasn't as many people, but now like just the amount of people that I'm seeing who are like, hey, like I have this too, or this has happened to me, or even parents who come and have little children who are so in tune. Like, it's just really cool to watch how the world really as a collective is starting to wake back up and acknowledge their intuition.
Oh my gosh, it is just such a fascinating start to your journey. And I mean, I was quite fortunate. I was a single child raised by my mum. I always just had imaginary friends, because when you're an only child, who else are you going to play with? So I was always talking to somebody, and my mum just thought, oh, that's just her imagination, you know, whatever. We were born and raised, you know, Catholic. So, you know, all that kind of the intuitive psychic medium realm was never something that was ever told to me. And it wasn't until I was 18 years old at the university library that a friend was like, can I read for you? And I was like, I didn't even know what a reading was. And she was like, let me just read for you. And then she was like, oh, so you're a psychic. And I'm like, I am not, you know, like this stuff. And I just repelled it for so long, because I was like, oh my gosh, can no one else hear voices in their heads? Do other people not sense things? And I was like, oh my gosh, am I different? Like, what's going on? And what's really exciting is for you've now fully embraced it, which is amazing. But I think if anyone can take anything maybe from a little bit of our stories, is we kind of all go through this whole, I don't want this. Kind of stage. And we kind of just go like, no, thank you. I was like, I don't know if I was scared per se, but I do remember being very scared of the dark. And I can't recall if it's because I was seeing things at nighttime or whatever. I can't remember that far back. But, you know, we've all gone through, holy moly, this is a little bit scary. And then it just becomes, actually, this is a little bit cool.
Yeah, no, totally. And I feel like that's something that's really important, because there's things that start happening. And I know, like, even people who, like, that I work with now who are like, I want to strengthen my gifts and I want all that. They'll be like, but I don't want to see anything. Or like, because our egos, I think, just try to protect us. And it's one of those things where, like, because it is the unknown, our ego likes to go into that protection mode of like, well, you don't know what you're going to tap into. Or what if you tap into something that isn't good? And like, your ego just like starts to protect you. So you definitely do become resistant. And I mean, now it's becoming more accepted. But even still today, like, it's not something that is still like everybody knows about it and everybody is like at least open to it. Like, it's still like there's many places that just aren't.
I totally agree. I have students as well that I'm like, I want to experience it all, but I don't want to see it. So funny, isn't it? Yeah. They're like, I want to have it all, but I don't want to see anything. And and I think the probably the hardest part of it all is because it's non-tangible. Like, sometimes I can't say to someone, well, you're going to see an angel. And it's like, well, I don't know if that's going to happen. Or, you know, like, so I think it's a beautiful journey. And seeing things, if you are someone who maybe sees things, it's like, don't be afraid of it. I always say, seeing something black doesn't mean it's evil. Yeah. It just means that they need the contrast of the lighting sometimes. Because if it's, you know, a sunny day, you might not be able to see them if they're bright. So, now you touched on this a little bit already. And I would love for you to share, what would be the best advice you could give to a young person who feels they have spiritual abilities, or to any parents who currently have children demonstrating these spiritual abilities?
Yeah, I think one of the most important things is letting them know that they're not weird. Or if you are the person that's going through this right now, like, I feel like I said for so long, and I recently made a post about this actually, I might be crazy, but like, that was, I feel like, something I just said all the time, because you feel crazy because you're having these experiences that we can't always rationalize, or I feel this way, but there's technically right now no physical proof, but then it happens, right? These things start happening and you're just tapping into that sixth sense, which is another dimension, another frequency, a heightened frequency. But science now is just starting to be able to touch on this, and quantum physics and all of that. But still, like, we've been brought up to just avoid it, ignore it. That's not normal. So definitely knowing you're not crazy. But if you are a parent, I think one of the most important things is just to like also ask your child questions, like not even just as much of just, oh, like, yeah, accept it, whatever. I think it's really important too, to start to be like, well, what are you seeing? Like, and start like, see how far it can go, because it's just going to teach them to continue to use that creative muscle. Because it's as simple as going into grade school, elementary school, whatever you might refer to it as, and the teacher saying, like, let's say the child wanted to paint a dog purple. But the teacher says, no, you need to paint it a real life color. It's little things like that that just starts to turn off your intuition again, because you're not allowing yourself to use that creative life force within you. So I think that's one of the biggest things, is allowing them to express it. And if you are somebody who is going through this right now, find somebody you can trust to talk about it, whether it's a friend who they might not even have the experiences right now, but they are just like totally open to it and think it's all so cool. Or if you can find a mentor or like a group online or something, like find a safe place that you can be able to just start to acknowledge these things, because the more we acknowledge it, the stronger it's going to get. Like think of going to the gym. The more you lift weights, the stronger you're going to get. So the more you start to even just as simple as, oh yeah, I did feel that way. And then it actually did end up happening. That's just a confirmation and a positive reinforcement for you to just continue utilizing that muscle, because it's just an intuitive muscle and it gets easier. And it's a really beautiful thing, whether you choose to end up leading like large retreats and psychic readings or whatever you want to do, or if you just decide, you know what, I want to use this to just make my life feel fulfilling or to find flow in my life. Like that's going to be up to you, but no matter what, it's going to help you tap into who you truly are. And at least what I've found is it's brought in that flow into my life. I used to always say like, oh no, things are too good. Something bad's bound to happen. And sure enough, something unfavorable would happen. And it was simply because I wasn't listening to what my body was telling me. I was doing like what my mind said or what everybody else expected of me. So have fun with the journey and knowing you're not crazy. You are feeling things correctly. Acknowledge it, write it down, share it with somebody, and you'll find like probably pretty quickly that those things are actually happening or something is showing you that what you were feeling was accurate.
Such amazing advice, Gabriella. One of the things that I say is, you know, creativity is the doorway to your divinity, because like I said, a lot of the stuff is non-tangible. And so you're going to have to develop, like you say, that creative muscle. And it's not something that you just, you know, meditate once and that's it. It's now fully switched on. You're going to receive everything, right? And it's going to be like the more you do it, the stronger it's going to get. But also just surrender, like have no expectation of what you're going to see or what you're going to feel, just going with the flow. And also knowing that you're not strange or different. Because technically, we're all spirit in a human body. So intuition, all of that kind of stuff is really normal. And somehow we've just kind of switched off as humans to our own natural ability. And this is what we're also going to delve in deeper with you, because I know this is what you help a lot of people to do, which is so phenomenal. So just to have that reassurance, your kids are normal, they're fine, you're normal, and it's never too late to also pick this up. You know, you could be in your 70s and you're like, well, I've never picked up my psychic abilities. Well, it's like, it's fine, you know, do it now. It's never too soon or too late. So I love your motto, which is shine your light. Can you explain to us what this light is? Because this is something people say all the time, shine your light, be the light. So What is that to you?
So for me, it's like a few, like for instance, I actually have tattooed like on my rib, be the light. And for me, when I say be the light, I really feel that is more of just like embodying that love, embodying that divinity. Like if you could think of like, I know there's that statement, like what would Jesus do? Or like whatever you view that God, divine creator, like whatever it might be. When I hear be the light, that's what that reminds me of, is like being the highest version of yourself, most confident, most loving like version of yourself. But when I hear shine your light, I love that because I feel like we're brought up to fit into those molds, right? Like you need to look like this. Like I remember just being in middle school and it being pressed into our heads. If we don't go into the healthcare field or engineering, we're not going to find jobs. We're not going to make money. Like all these different stigmas that are brought upon us, like where you've grown up, what your religion is. And all that's doing is it's distancing us or putting voids up that are blocking us between who we truly are. So when we're shining our light, that's just really being authentically ourselves, like having fun, being silly, doing the things that you love to do. And even though it sounds so simple, it's actually, I think, one of the hardest things, because of that. Like, most people don't even know, like, what do I like to do? Like, that's something I feel like I struggled with for so long. Like, after not being able to play soccer anymore, I was like, I don't know what I like. I like spiritual stuff, but I'm like, that's also like so much of what I do for work too. So I'm like, I need to find other things that I'd like. And just like all these different things like that are like put upon us. So it can be very hard. And it's very hard sometimes for us to even admit to ourselves that we do like something or that we are good at something, because we're brought up too to like, don't compliment yourselves, because if you do, you're going to seem conceited or whatever else. So it's really just loving yourself and being yourself and just not caring what other people, what other judgments that they might be placing upon you, because at the end of the day, those judgments have nothing to do with you and it has everything to do with them. The more you shine your light, the more you're raising the vibrational frequency of the planet, because when you're happy, right, you feel really good and really excited. And that frequency is a high frequency. When you're sad, when you feel like you're in a really bad place in life, chances are you're feeling super tired. You're probably sick more. You're just like, you don't have the energy, right? And that's a very dense energy. So the more we can step into that light, even though it might trigger some people, it's encouraging them to wake up. All the only reason it's triggering them is because you're a mirror to them, right? So the more you shine your light, even though it can be very challenging at first, it's actually the greatest thing you can do, the greatest blessing you can give to yourself, but also the planet, because it's going to help every person around you.
I so love that. And I feel when I was talking in the beginning about your energy, that's what you are. You are shining your light. It is just so beautiful. And for me, I think love, that's why I call this philosophy the Rise with Love philosophy. And this is why it's called the Rise with Love podcast, is because I really believe love is the highest thing we can experience. It is, such a beautiful energy to be in. And when we're shining our light, it's like we're radiating. Would you say you're radiating that love? And, I love that you say about being your authentic self, because so many people, like you talked about, we get told you got to fit into this, you got to be like this. And it's like, well, what if I'm not that? I know you and I experienced that. It's like, well, okay. Yeah. I was a primary school teacher. So when I was a primary school teacher, I was amazing. I had all the friends. And as soon as I kind of came out of the closet, and I was like, now I'm a psychic medium. And everyone was like, yeah, we don't want to be friends with you anymore.
Yeah, like, what are you saying?
Yeah, it's like, I'm still Melissa. I'm still, having fun at parties, doing all that kind of stuff. I was younger back then, not with three children. So it's like, and I think judgment is the biggest thing that holds people back from being their authentic self. What are people now going to think of me? What if I say this? What's going to happen? And it's like, they say your vibe attracts your tribe. So if you fear who you are, you're going to keep attracting people who are going to keep bringing this up. But if you love and embrace who you are, if you shine your light, right, you're going to attract the people who are going to just love who you are. And they're going to help to take you to the next level, to just keep embodying that incredible person that you are. So I just love that that's your motto. It's so beautiful and empowering. And I'd love for you now to share, because you work a lot with people who do this kind of stuff and you help them to understand their intuition. So how can people start to use their intuition? Because I know a lot of people go, I don't really know if it's working. So can you elaborate for us on that?
Yeah, it's really honestly as simple as, does this feel good to you? Does this excite you? Or does it not? Like, I feel like that is one of the easiest ways, because I like to think of your intuition as like a GPS. Like on most of our phones now, I feel like there's that GPS system, whatever type of phone you have. And if you were to type in like whatever location you're wanting to go to, it's going to put in that fastest location, right? Or the fastest route to get you to that location in the quickest, easiest ways. But let's say like halfway through that trip, all of a sudden it's like giving you alerts like there's an accident, reroute, but you're like, no, this is the only way I've ever gone, this is the only way I've ever like known I'm going this way, and you don't listen to that alert, or you like refer to it as your intuition, you're gonna end up, let's say you get stuck in 3 hours worth of traffic, where if you had just trusted and gone that other way, you probably would have gone there 10 times quicker, right? So that's really a lot of your intuition. It's following what feels really good, following what excites excites you and saying no to what doesn't. And that's not always as easy as said than done, because sometimes, yeah, anxiety comes in and fear comes in. So another good way, like when you're really first starting, there's two things I would touch on is one, you can ask the universe for signs. And I think this is like the best thing you can do when you're first starting. At least it was from my experience, was I would just say, okay, universe, like for instance, I actually decided I didn't want to do rowing anymore because I realized I wasn't doing it for the right reasons. I realized I was doing it just because I wanted to still be an athlete. And I really did not enjoy getting up at 4 a.m. and all that. Yes, my gut, you always already know the answer. I knew I didn't want to do it anymore, but it was a matter of me admitting that to myself. So I think I'd read in that book that I talked about at the beginning that you can ask for signs. So I was like, okay, all right, universe. If I'm not supposed to do rowing anymore, show me a double rainbow. And this is in January in upstate New York. So January in upstate New York, it's snowy, it's cold, like all that. So you don't see very many rainbows. But I was somebody who, even though I'm like so into the woo side of things, I'm also a very practical person. So I was like, I don't want to just see a cardinal because I see them every day and I won't believe it. I don't want to see a dime because I see them every day. I wanted like this like really out there sign that if I saw it was like, there's no denying. That was my answer. That was my intuition. That was my guides, whatever you want to refer to it as. So sure enough, I was on a cruise because we were home from college. It was at Christmas winter break. And my friend had on sunglasses and he was like, oh my gosh, look in the window. There's double rainbows. And you don't really hear that word very often to begin with. So I put on the sunglasses and I was like, okay, I wonder if this was my sign. But I looked into the window and it was just a ton of like those little flashes of rainbows. Like in my mind, a double rainbow was two rainbows like over one another. But this wasn't that. So I was like, okay, like maybe that was my sign, but I'm not really buying it. Like I was very stubborn. So now like I go home, whatever. And I think it was the weekend before I went back to college. So I was running out of time. Like I had to be back at school by Tuesday. And sure enough, my mom starts yelling from the kitchen. She's like, oh my gosh, like look outside. There's a double rainbow. Literally, like I still have chills every time I talk about this. A double rainbow was over our backyard. And that was one of those moments where like my world stopped for a minute. And I was like, holy crap, this stuff is real. And I was like, okay. And so there was my answer. But I already knew I didn't want to do it, right? It was just a matter of me actually then having that physical confirmation. So that's a really great way to start, is to just be like, okay, even if you're feeling something, like I feel like this, or I saw this, but I don't know if it's true. So I'd like a confirmation. You can ask for a sign. Just say something like, okay, thank you. Like you could say universe, guides, angel, like whatever you believe in. Thank you for showing me blank type of thing. And it's like a yes or no question. Like I couldn't have asked, okay, show me this if I should or should not do rowing, right? I needed to get really clear on what did I want. Show me blank if I shouldn't do it anymore. So get super clear. And the sign will come as long as you forget about it. Like think of your phone. If you're waiting for an important phone call and you keep looking and you keep looking and you keep looking, you're probably not going to get that call, but it's the minute you walk away, right? So it's going to take you probably a week or so, depending on how like important the answer is to you, to like forget about it, because at least for me. So that is one thing for your intuition, to start asking for signs to just confirm it and like to get that guidance from the universe. But you can also, another really important thing, like just like a great starting point, is to figure out what your strong suit is. The different clairs: clairvoyance, clairaudience, clairsentience, claircognizance. So clairvoyance is seeing, clairaudience hearing, claircognizance is knowing, and clairsentience is feeling. So like how we were talking about how I was saying like, I feel like, or I was seeing a lot. So those were ways that I interpret information. So how you can start to figure out which is like your strong suit is like, just think about when you're watching a movie, for instance, what do you notice? Like for me, I get like, if I'm watching a super intense movie, like an action movie, a scary movie, like my dad loves like military movies, I get so anxious because I actually feel like I take on those characters and their feelings and their roles. But some people really love the way the scenery looks. Some people love the background music. Some people feel like when they're watching it, they just like know what's going to happen next, right? So start to figure out where you're naturally already using your intuition, what your strong suit is, and then really work on strengthening that strong suit. So if you're very clairvoyant, like you are very visual, you're a visual learner, all of that, I'd recommend sitting down and like get a picture of somebody and look at that picture. And then close your eyes and then envision that picture with your eyes closed. Like, okay, Where do they have any freckles? What's the color of their eyes? What's their eyebrows like? Do they have any wrinkles? And just get really, really like visual with that. That's a really good one. Or you could also do something like, if you want to boost all of them, envision yourself with like a fruit or a vegetable, something. It could be any type of food, really. And just start one. What does it look like? What's the shape? What's the color? What does it feel like in your hand? Like, let's just say an orange. Like, if you were to then peel the orange, can you smell it? Like, if you can really get into that place in your like imagination and your mind, you're going to start to notice too that that's going to naturally strengthen every other aspect of your life because it's strengthening that muscle, which is going to connect right to your intuition.
Oh my gosh, I can just picture myself already with the orange, right? Right. Going, oh, yeah. And the thing as well, something that happens for me, I'm predominantly clairaudient, so I hear a lot. Uh-huh. That's yeah. how I work. But I was actually born with burst eardrums. And so one of the things that I say is also, what's your learning style? Are you a visual, you know, audio, or are you a tactile? Because that's usually a really great place to start as to what your spiritual sense, the strongest one might be, is your usually mm-hmm. your learning style, because that's like your yeah. safety net, your comfort zone, and it will change. And the thing is, mm-hmm. you'll get all of them happening sometimes all at once. It's not just like yeah. I'm clairvoyant and I only see signs or right. numbers or whatever. You'll also feel things. You'll also hear things. You'll just know things, but you'll usually have one that's the strongest. And it is really amazing if you can develop all of them and just yeah. have fun with it. The whole thing about working with the universe, with spirit, all of that is just have fun. And I kind of feel like I still, you know, I love doing signs, and I'm still, that's one way that I still work even now. I've been doing this for 10 years now. And I would love for you to share, because you assist as well people all around the world to access their higher power to live their best life, which is amazing. I think that's so cool. How can we begin to do this? You know, if, you know, what's a higher power? How do we tap into that? Can you share some tips for us?
Yeah. So a great starting place is really to start to think about, let's just say, like, if you have like a belief in a God or creator or divine or whatever it might be, and start to write like everything you think that they're capable of, or the person you look up to the most in the world, what are they capable of? Like, if you're thinking of that, like, let's just say a word of God. So a God, maybe you think that they have it all and they can be it all and they're the most loving and the most forgiving and the most accepting, and really make that whole list. But then instead change it to your name. Or like, if you were to say like, God is the creator, change it to I am the creator. Once you flip it into that perspective, you're going to start to easily, just immediately, something's going to click in your mind, because we really are all one. Like the law of oneness, the law of one. It's what I have, you have. What you view that highest power, you have within you as well. It's just like the church and all of that, that like different levels of government and power that have tried to make us believe that we're separate, right? I mean, I grew up Catholic too, so I can totally relate to that, and just learning.
Isn't
like
that funny how a lot of us have grown up Catholic, right?
Yeah. It's so interesting. So many people have. And I was an altar server. I was like, so like, I just wanted to be close to Jesus. Like, I loved it all. Like, but then as I got older, I started to realize like, wait, there's a lot of control here. Like something feel like this isn't what Jesus tells me. Like this is different. So it is interesting how that has happened. But so we have been told that we're separate, right? So first, just starting to embody that and just even setting the intention that, oh, if this person can have that, why can't I? Of course I can, because we're all one and we're all this beautiful, like think of a pie, like that whole pie, looking at that apple pie, it's great. But like, you don't really probably think any other piece, if you split it up equally, every piece is just as great, right? So thinking of yourself in the same way, like your strengths might be different than your neighbor's strengths, but you're all just as great. And the more you can tap into that, the more the gifts are going to start to share. So that is something that's important. But also just starting to think about who is, like, I love doing higher self meditations, but just starting to think about, if I was the most confident version of myself, if I was the most abundant, if I was the most love-filled, what would I look like? What would I feel like? What would my life be like, right? When you can start to get into that creative space, allowing yourself to go there, allowing yourself to feel like, let's just say you were the most abundant version of yourself, like the wealthiest version of yourself, how would it feel to know like all of your credit cards or your debt is paid off? How would it feel to be able to go to the store and be able to buy whatever it is that you want? How would it feel to be able to write a check for $10,000 to your favorite charity? Like, think about these things and get really specific. How would it feel to have that relationship of your dreams and you're walking in at night and you're walking into them already cooking your favorite meal and they greet you at the door? Like, how would it feel? Get into those modes of really just being it and feeling it, because at the end of the day, the universe doesn't operate on like what you're seeing. It operates on what you're feeling. So when you can feel all those great things, those best possible scenarios in your life, it just brings it. Like, it's a vibration, it's a frequency. We're not really, this isn't our reality where you're breathing, living right now. You can create your reality into anything you want. The universe isn't a person. The universe doesn't know. The universe is operating off of a frequency and energy. So when you can start to tap into who that version of yourself is, it's like it changes the game on so many levels. But what I'd recommend is then name that higher aspect of yourself, because like I know a lot of people will say like, oh, what would Beyonce do? How would Beyonce handle this, right? And what it does in your mind is it just separates you. Like, and even though I know I'm talking about the law of like one and all that, but your mind, if I was to put myself into like a new situation, let's say, and I was to say, well, what would Gabriella do? My mind is probably going to give me everything Gabriella would usually do. So you want to then say like, I've named mine Tiffany. So I would say like, well, what would Tiffany, how would Tiffany handle this situation? And then my mind would say, well, Tiffany would do this, this, and this. And then it's so much easier for me to be like, oh, okay. So I'm going to do it like this instead of how Gabriella usually would and be worried or whatever, like your mind might give you. So that's like a really, really great way. And you could even take it a step further and then name your like lower aspect of yourself, the version of yourself who's in the fear mode and all of that. And it's funny when I do this with clients, a lot of times that version of themselves is a very like old name that you don't really hear anymore. And it just somehow that's what happens. So when you're taking yourself out of those comfort zones and you're taking those leaps, that version of yourself is going to be like, are we sure? Like, we can't do this. This is scary. So then you can just say like, hey, even though it seems silly, talk to that aspect of yourself and be like, okay, I know in the past this would have really scared us, but, and then talk yourself through it. It just makes your mind be able to rationalize things a little bit easier. And it gives your mind the okay to be that other version of yourself, that higher version of yourself. So I would recommend starting there and knowing you can have it all. You can be it all. You are already it all. It's just a matter of us releasing, like we were talking about earlier, those masks, those old personas that we're told we need to be, the labels, and really re-become what feels good to you and what you like and what you want for yourself. Because if you want it, you already have it. It's just a matter of now bringing it into your physical reality rather than just your energetic reality or in your mind.
I love that. I have never thought about naming my higher self. I've definitely got my, I call it my ego voice. That's got a name. But I'm like, ooh, what would I name my higher self? What's a really like, I want to say bouncy name, you know, because I want it to be like, you know, energetic and beautiful. Yeah. And so I'm like, oh, well, suggestions, please, everybody. But I love that. Some awesome tips. And you know, I love, we are all interconnected. And when jealousy can be one of the biggest crumblers for us. And the thing is, one of the Abraham teachings kind of says to us, if you can't, you know, see abundance, that others are abundant, if that's never demonstrated to you, then how do you know that you can achieve it? How do you know that you can have it, right? Mm-hmm. So we must, you know, when someone has something that we want and we're like, oh, I don't have that, it's actually look at it as, wow, the universe is showing me what is possible. The universe is showing me what I've got goosebumps. But it's like the universe is able to show me what I'm about to have. Or, you know, instead of going like, oh, nothing good ever happens to me. And we get into that worst case scenario mode, you know, because it's our survival instincts. But actually, if we looked at the best case scenario, it's like, well, anything is actually possible because the universe is infinite. We have infinite possibilities. And I call it the man per se, but, you know, as humanity, we've told, you know, we've been molded that we can't, but actually this is when we change it. And you also talk a lot about ascension. I love this word, right? So I just love ascension. I'm like, this is all what we should all be reaching for. So tell us, like, with your clients and everything that you do, how do you help people to reach for that ascension?
Yeah. When I think of ascension, it's really just like bringing back that pure love and harmony back to the planet, re-becoming that highest aspect of ourselves, that pure love energy. So really, even though that's like so light in love, we have to be honest, and there is a lot of maybe not so light in love energies that we do have to work through, right? Like the different traumas we've experienced, the hard times, different things in our lives that are like causing the limiting beliefs and the blocks and all that. So we definitely first need to really start with that. Like, I mean, usually when I work with like a first time, we're really talking about like who you are on a soul level and all that, because it starts to open you up to who you truly are. And it starts to like, you usually know like, oh yeah, I have felt that way before, but like I've just never really acted on it or whatever because of what we've talked about before, the masks, the molds, the expectations. But from there, usually we have limiting beliefs. We usually have these different, I like to kind of refer to it because I'm a very visual person. So I like to say, it's almost like, think of yourself with a backpack and it's filled with like 100 heavy rocks. Your back is probably like almost broken and you're probably not able to really move forward, right? And think of the different situations in your life that you've gone through that maybe have impacted you in not the most positive way. So we need to start to rework through those things, reprogram those things, because there was always a positive to it. There was always a lesson from it, but usually we're just told, get up and move on. Like, you got to keep going. And it could have been as simple as when you were in kindergarten on the playground, your friends decide they no longer wanted to be your friends. And even though as an adult, you're like, well, that's okay. Like, kids are kids and things like that happen all the time. But when you were 5 years old, that really affected you. And that was like the worst day of your life and all of that. But you just don't know. And without realizing it, that turned into you maybe being closed off to people or not trusting people, because then it attracted something else, and because the lesson hadn't been learned yet. So we do have to do a lot of that, a lot of clearing, a lot of really facing your shadows, facing the things about yourself that maybe aren't always the healthiest, like habits and different things like that, and understanding why you do those things and forgiving yourself. Forgiving yourself, forgiving those other people. And I know that's like the hardest part a lot of times, because our ego wants to protect ourselves. But when we can remember that we brought that person into our life, right? Like, if you have a difficult person in your life, maybe it's even like an ex and it ended really badly and you have every reason to hate them, we have to remember that they're your greatest teacher. The people that you don't feel the most lovey-dovey about are actually the greatest blessings in your life, because they're teaching you something. So let's just say they cheated on you. Okay, well, yeah, that's a really horrible thing and it's really hard to work through, but at the same time, maybe they're trying to teach you empowerment and how to love yourself and like whatever else it might teach you, right? So then you can just start to be like, okay, and get your anger out, get it out, say it, write it, whatever you need to do, but then start to see, okay, but you know what? I'm thanking you because you've taught me this. And you know what? I'm choosing to forgive you now. And I'm sending you away with love because X, Y, and Z, because I don't need this in my life anymore. I've learned this lesson. Thank you so much for showing me, like, whatever it might be that you feel like you need to say. And the more we can start to do that, the more, no, it's not going to happen after one time, a super deep rooted issue. It's no longer going to affect you. But the more we work with the mind and the energy clearing, the quicker the 100 rocks in your backpack turns into like 1 or 0. And then you're freed of that stuff. And the more you can do that, the more you can start to realize that I've brought in everything into my life up until this moment to teach me something, whether it was good or bad or whatever your mind wanted to perceive it as, the quicker you're going to be able to accept yourself, to accept your life and reconnect with that truth, which is going to bring in that pure love energy. And it's not to say right now, like, your life is going to be 100% like perfect and sunshine and rainbows, because there is still a lot as a collective for us to work through right now, right? But you can do your part by working through that stuff within you. And the more you can keep track of who you truly are, though, and the more you can identify, well, this is who I really am. So even though I'm going through this right now, or even though I handled this in maybe a way that my higher self wouldn't have, it's okay. I'm learning. So it's like finding that balance between doing the healing work, but also being reminded of like why you're doing it, who you're trying to become. Because I feel like we can also get so stuck in the, well, I still have something else I need to heal. Or, well, I can't do this yet because I haven't healed from this, right? So we do want to keep that bigger picture in our mind as well of, well, who are we becoming? Who do we want to be? And that helps you kind of maintain a really good balance with it. So it's a lot of mindset work. It's a lot of energy healing work. It's a lot of like really facing some of the shadows, but at the same time, it's super freeing, because with every block that's removed too, you're also opening your intuition up a little bit more, a little bit more, and a little bit more. You're going to feel better. You're going to feel more fulfilled. And like the amount of times you're going to start to hear like, you're glowing. What have you been doing? You're glowing or whatever else. You're going to find that happening all the time because you're just tapped in. You're tapping in and you're releasing those heavy weights that really aren't serving anybody.
What a great metaphor to use the rocks in the backpack as, you know, your blocks or your stories or the limiting beliefs and all of that that you're carrying for yourself. And if you can just imagine that in your mind right now and go, it's a, you know, wow, I have 100 rocks I'm carrying on my backpack. And it's like, don't be hard on yourself about it. Let's just work through removing one rock at a time. Or maybe, you know, 3 rocks might come out as you work through, you know, something that caused more things inside yourself. And, you know, I also really believe when we go back to, you know, I call it the other side, when we leave our physical body and we go back to the other side, that's where it's all wonderful. That's where it's all just that love energy. But we come here on earth to experience the contrast to help us reach for that love. If the world was all, you know, white picket fences and unicorns and mermaids and all of that kind of stuff, then we wouldn't know to reach for more love, to reach for more good. So we have to have those contrasts. But the thing I always say is we just don't want to give that too much momentum. Yeah, we're going to experience sadness and fear and jealousy and all of those things, but we just don't want to give that momentum. We want to acknowledge it and go, okay, so what am I really wanting to experience? That's the joy or the love or the abundance from this, because that's what it's teaching you. And I always, like you, say, you know, your darkest times become the greatest accomplishments. And the people who have hurt you, yeah, they are your greatest teachers. And sometimes we kind of look at it as, oh, I don't think I brought this person into my life, or I never asked for the situation. Yeah, you did. Somewhere inside of you, you needed that lesson. You maybe didn't want it in this way, but you needed to experience that. So everything comes into our life because we've somehow thought about it or actually feeling. You're right. You know, the universe responds to our feelings. I want to ask you something a little bit different, because when we were, you know, corresponding back and forth, you said to me that if you could have a conversation with anybody in history, that it would be Mary Magdalene. Now, I want you to explain that in a minute as to why and what you would ask her, but I just want to share a little bit of a backstory. So my healing guide is John the Baptist. Now I know this because I've done a lot of trance work, and you know, we've, you know, I've brought him through and people have asked some questions, and you know, I wasn't sure if he was John the Baptist or John, one of the disciples, but it's definitely John the Baptist. And he always goes on about how he loves Mary and how Mary was so much more of a badass. Well, I say badass, like she was so much more powerful than actually Jesus was. And I've always found that so fascinating. He always goes on about, he still, of course, loved Jesus, you know, he baptized him and all that kind of stuff, right? But it's actually how she was so much more of an equal, if actually not more powerful in what she did. But of course, being a woman, you know, they kind of had to shadow that a little bit. So he just praises her. And John the Baptist, he just loves on Mary. So not in that way, he loved his wife, right? Yeah. but I'd love for you to tell us why this is now, why you're fascinated with Mary.
Yeah. So, I mean, I've always really been like, from the time, like I was little, I didn't go to Catholic school, but Catholic church, church school, stuff like that. We always heard about Mother Mary, Mary Magdalene. When I was little, I'd always say like the Our Father and then say the different prayers to the different, the Hail Mary, stuff like that. So I always felt connected, and I always did feel like both Mother Mary and Mary Magdalene, they carried such a loving presence. So I just always feel like I've always been like pretty connected with them. And I feel like they've been there to kind of be that, almost like a spirit, not, they're not a spirit guide, of course, but like kind of like a guide for me, to really encourage me, to give me that nurture and to give me that love, and also reminding me like Mary Magdalene is this beautiful spiritual teacher. And really, I feel like the more I've stepped into this, the more she's stepped forth to help me. And also the more I've just also worked on calling on her, invoking her into my life and like channeling through me and different things like that. So it's really interesting, because I definitely have never had that viewpoint of she was like a whore or whatever the church likes to make her out to be. And I've always just felt differently. And I do think too, I've lived in that time. So I feel like I innately deep within have a different perspective on what really happened, but she's come up again and again and again. And then recently I stumbled upon it's on Audible, Mary Magdalene Revealed. And it's like, all of her scriptures, and I'm not through it yet, but it's just so fascinating, all these different women in history, and you find it in the Bible, or you find it in like pieces of the Bible that have been taken out, but there's just like so many people have purchased the different scriptures or whatever you want to refer to them as throughout the years that they're out there, and just the different stories that you hear, and like how she was actually one, like how, yeah, John the Baptist is saying, like she was actually more powerful, or whatever you want to view them as, like one with each other, neither was better or worse or whatever. Like, I really feel like those two really embody that beautiful, like masculine and feminine energy. And I feel like that's something that's really coming up right now on the planet too, is the rise of the feminine. But it's so important for us to be reminded of that, of not allowing ourselves to get carried away. Too much of anything is no good, right? Like, we need the contrast, like you were saying. And I see so many females now like hating on men, and we need to take the men down. And really, that's not what she stands for. She stands for that balance of loving yourself, bringing that balance of the masculine and the feminine, like one is not without the other, and really helping us to come to that place within all of us. So I think that would be like one of the, like that's one of the most important reasons I think why she's coming up right now so much for me. But I would love to ask her like too more about her experiences and how they say her, there's, you can go into a place in France and like see her home or where they say she lived. And like, I totally feel like that. I totally feel like she ended up in France. And I think she traveled a lot, but I would just love to be able to sit down and like even see her life after everything with what happened with Jesus and the crucifixion and all that stuff. Like, I just love to hear like her perspective even like afterwards, because I feel like we heard a lot about her during his time, but like she went on to teach and do so much after as well, that I'd love to sit with her and even ask her her perspective on like how we can really bring in that feminine energy in a really balanced way, so we balance both, because we've seen what's happened with using like only masculine energy, right? So we need that balance. And I don't know, I would just ask her, I feel like, so many questions and pertains to that.
I think it's such a, you know, valid point. And I think one of the things is when we talk about the rise of the feminine, I don't know about you, but I also feel that it's not actually about women necessarily rising. It's about the feminine energy in all of us now coming more into the light, per se. So it's like men have a feminine energy, women have a masculine energy. We all have that within us. And I think we need to love on men, we need to love on women. And what we need to remember is actually the gender that we are is only in the physical. Our beings don't have a gender per se. You know, we are both masculine and feminine. So the rise of the feminine energy is also the rise of the feminine energy in men as well. I don't know if that's something that you would kind of agree with.
Oh yeah, that's so important, because it's like the yin and the yang. Like, we all have both aspects. And I feel like, yeah, like we've been brought up like you work hard for everything and you do that. Like, it's that very, that masculine energy, but it doesn't mean it's just men. Like, there's so many women that have that very strong masculine energy, right? Like, it's not about your literal gender. It's about the masculine is that more take action, the assertive, where the feminine is more intuitive, nurturing energy. So it's really bringing that balance now. And you see that happening too with like people tapping into their intuition more, and like the spiritual side of things is coming back. And that's where my brand Soul Getters came from, is finding that balance between being that beautiful, spiritual, soulful person, but also taking action, right? Because we can't just sit and meditate forever and expect our lives to change. We have to take action, but also if we're overworking ourselves, that's just going to drain your energy too. So it's finding that balance within you. So yeah, I love how you say that, because it is so important. And I feel like there is that misconception, and really it has nothing to do with like what your physical gender is right now. It's like within you.
Yeah. And I love that. I mean, also women have been suppressed throughout history. Yeah. And so I can understand why women are like, well, it's now our time. But also, like you say, sometimes one extreme isn't the way to, you know, go about things. So we need to find our balance within all of it. And actually, when we realize that we are one, we're all interconnected, our gender, like, and when I say gender, I mean like the sex that we are in our human body, doesn't matter. So it doesn't matter if you are transgender or any of those things. None of that actually matters. It's the energy that is within you, finding the balance of the feminine and masculine. So I would love for you to just share your vision for what you wish for light workers in the future.
Yeah, I love that. That's a great question. So definitely, oh my gosh, there's so many things. It's just, I feel like overall, the biggest thing is acceptance. Acceptance of your gifts, of who you are, and knowing like you are such a beautiful aspect of that divine energy that you are never less than. You're always, always, always equal. And I would really say like just being like seeing people really waking up and waking up in that balanced way, like we were just saying, that masculine, that feminine. We're always going to go through those times where we're a little more than another, and that's okay. It's part of our journey. But really just being like on earth and having that almost like euphoric place where it's like we are awaken to the fact of like, why are we angry at each other? Why are we fighting? Like, and just being able to have those deeper, more intellectual conversations with each other rather than screaming at each other, rather than fighting with each other, finding those ways to work things through. And as a light worker, like, I feel like obviously if you're listening to this, you're a light worker, and just being able to lead the way in that sense, because that's what we're getting to, that pure love frequency where we can interchange between that physical body and that light body. But it's up to us right now to really anchor in that love. And I know that can sound like it's a lot, but it's just about being you. And you're going to make mistakes along the way, but it's forgiveness. Forgive yourself. Like, be easy on yourself and view this as a fun opportunity, an amazing opportunity, because you're here right now as, I like to call it like an end time player. Like, no, the world's not ending. It's the old world is ending, the old way of being. And we're beginning to enter that beautiful place where it is that pure love frequency coming back in. And it begins with us. So speaking up when you feel the need to, but always too coming back to, am I speaking out of fear or out of love? And like, take that perspective, because I feel like we can get so carried away sometimes with what we're passionate about. But once again, like we talked about, paying attention to the extremes and finding that balanced approach, but being fearless in your pursuit and knowing nothing can ever dim your light. Your light is your greatest superpower and it's your greatest protection. So the more you can just tap into that pure love frequency, nothing's going to ever get in your way. Nothing can stop you. Nothing can hurt you. So just knowing, the more you anchor that in, the just more aligned you're going to be, the better you're going to feel, the more fulfilled you're going to be. And it's going to be a beautiful journey. I know there's going to be some ups and downs, of course, that's life, but it's so much bigger than just us. And right now we're in such a potent, powerful time that if we can start to shine our lights and work on ourselves and really share our message, even if it's just one person that you help, like, that's huge. And the ripple effect is huge. And just your frequency that you carry is going to influence every single person around you. If you go to the store, if you're with your family, like, it is impacting everybody. So it's so much bigger than just like ourselves, and we're really leading the way, and it's a beautiful place to be. And yeah, it's just an exciting time. So just knowing you're not alone, and there's a lot more excitement ahead.
Oh, such an incredible message for light workers and for anybody. I mean, a light worker just really means, in a sense, I think we're all light workers, right? We've all got our own unique gifts and talents and abilities that we came here to bless the planet with. You know, always it's the saying, you know, leave it better than how you came into it. So how can people connect with you, Gabriella? Because you are just so awesome. And I just feel people will really resonate your energy. You're a perfect example of how we rise with love. So I am still going to link it anyway, but how can people connect with you?
Thank you. Thank you for having me. So yeah, I've definitely, I feel like Instagram is my favorite place to be. So everything is Soul Getters, SoulGetters. So my website, soulgetters.com, Instagram is at Soul Getters, and that's like really where I hang out the most. I've also started doing some TikTok, so that's kind of a new fun thing, just making some short videos. And then also I have my Facebook group, Ambitious Soul Getters. So if you are somebody who is really like looking for that community because you have these gifts, or you're already a coach, you're already a healer, you're an intuitive, whatever it might be, and you really want to dive in deeper, have that support, have that community. And also, like, you might just be somebody who's like, it's really all ends of the spectrum. So that's a really great place just for acceptance and encouragement and sisterhood, all that. And then I also do have a podcast as well, the Soul Getters podcast on iTunes and Podbean. So those are my main places right now. And I'm also on YouTube too. So it's another Soul Getters, or Gabriella Danielle is on YouTube.
We can find you everywhere.
Yeah, right? Pretty much on all the platforms.
Oh, you're just so beautiful. I'm so glad that we got to do this. You are just such a beautiful light worker, and what you do is so needed in the world. I just feel so honored. You know, the universe brought us together, and, you know, I so look forward to continue following your journey and seeing you shine your light, beautiful.
thank you right back at you. It's been such an honor being able to connect with you. And yeah, it's just so great to be in your space. You're such a light to the world. And I really appreciate you having me today.
Oh, it takes one to know one, right? What I see in you is a reflection of my light. That's one of the most wonderful sayings I've loved about Gabby Bernstein that she shares. So thank you so much, everybody, for tuning in and spending this time with Gabriella and myself. It's always such a joy to be part of your journey. Keep rising with love and use your intuition to assist you in co-creating your best life. Until next time, everybody, peace, love, and blessings. Melissa.